Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Love those songs. My faith doesn't stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Even when things begin to happen that goes against your flesh, it don't change the word. The word requires us to change. Amen. Let's all pray for the word of God. Yes, Heavenly Father, amen. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Mighty God, I pray, Lord, that you'll let me be the lips of clay, Lord. Let me not say anything that is not of thy word, Lord, or anything that would go against thy word, but help me to teach it just like it is, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. You may be seated. Our lesson text today is the foundation of the Christian life, the incarnation. Amen. The incarnation is the very foundation of the Christian life. Amen. If it wasn't that, there would be no salvation. But I'm going to read the focus verse today. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call, and this is Matthew 1 and 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted as God with us. Then our lesson today is in, lesson text is in John 1, verse 1 through 3, and then verse 14, and then we'll get to the rest of it. In the beginning, in John verse 1, John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Romans 8 and 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. John 5, 1 John 5 and 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. John 8, 5 and 8, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I said unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. You know, I can stop right there, and we've already proved the Godhead. We've already proved that God is incarnate in Christ Jesus. Amen. But man, because of philosophy. Now, I see all of us here, we're all apostolic people. Amen. And you know, they will try to take things to prove a point. And I've read on both sides. I've read the oneness and their doctrine and the things that they come up with. And they come up with verse after verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. Just go on and on. And then when they come up with their philosophy. And then they go about two or three pages before, and they'll give you a couple of verses at the end of it. Because, you know, they can't go to the Old Testament. They don't even try. Everything rests on what few verses they might find in the New Testament, but rightly and dividing the Word of God, it's not there either. But this is the Godhead, or this is the incarnate life of Jesus Christ. We know Jesus Christ came, and he was born of a virgin. Amen. And this is all throughout the Old Testament. Some of the Jewish scholars today are admitting now, they say there's probably two Messiahs, one suffering and one that reigns. Well, there is, but they're both the same. See, the thing, they don't want to quit splitting things. They're both the same. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in the body. Amen. And Jesus Christ, he was God's only begotten Son because it says begotten because all through the Bible you find begotten is man. You know, someone, a child is begotten of Samuel, or not Samuel, but one of the other prophets, and they'll say begotten. Begotten of who? But they won't, usually it won't be their only begotten Son. But Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son. He was the only man that was begotten of the Father. Amen. That's the man, Jesus Christ. He came into beginning. That was his beginning, the man Jesus Christ, whenever he was begotten of the Father. Amen. Did Jesus die on the cross? He did die on the cross. But did God had to leave. He said, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to leave so Christ, the man, could die. He had a soul, the Bible says. And that soul went up on the right hand of God, amen, and he's our mediator between man and God. And without him, you wouldn't get anywhere. Amen. Without Jesus being there, because I thank God that he looks through Jesus Christ before he sees me. Oh, my goodness. I'd be like Adam and Eve. I'd have to go hide somewhere. Because he wouldn't like what he sees, and it wouldn't work. But anyway, if they won't argue this thing today, if they was trained, let them go ahead and argue. Amen. But you will see that they don't ever want to leave the cross. You ever do a work sometime and you're just sweating, you've been working so hard at something, and there's always those same ones, they never do anything, but they criticize what you're doing. Don't that make you mad? Now, that's the way they are about the apostolic. They don't want to do anything, but they want to criticize you for what you're trying to do. Amen. They want to criticize us, and I say, well, you know what you usually say in the world today, if we say it to a man, we will say, well, if you can do better, why don't you do it? But it's always, I don't believe you have to. I don't believe you have to. Why would you even go there? Why go there? Amen. And I come up out of the Trinity, and I have seen no reason to go anywhere else. Amen. I read the Word of God. I see we stay with the Word of God, and we don't say that we never err. We're still man. Now the Pope, they claim he's infallible. But before Martin Luther, before he broke away from the Catholic Church, the reason he broke away because of the ungodliness that was going on in the church at that time. So no man is infallible. Amen. And I've always said if I don't teach something according to the way Brother Wells teaches it, he can tell me and I won't teach it no more. You know, because God is not the author of confusion. But I know we're going to be all right because we stay in the Word of God. And that's just what we need to do. Amen. I have here the foundation, concerning the foundation. Now listen, nothing starts until you get on the foundation. See, we don't have to lay that foundation. If I build a house, I have to get somebody to lay the foundation, or I have to lay it myself. But this foundation has already been laid, and no other foundation can be laid except that which is laid in Christ Jesus. No other man can lay this foundation. We're all built upon that foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11, and I meant to give these guys to tell them my verses, but I didn't give it to them. So if you want it, you can come and get it. All right, he's getting it all right then. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is in Christ Jesus. That's the incarnation. It's God with us, the anointed one. Verse 12, now if any man build upon a foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, it's going to be tried by fire. Now, the precious stone, I believe, is the Word of God, the things we built upon this foundation according to the Word of God, according to His Word. Amen. When we get to the other things, it's just going to be like wood, hay, and stubble. It's just going to burn up. There's no good going to come out of it. Amen. But the thing about some things, the more fire you put on them, the better they get. But we're going to try here today to show you something that about the incarnation, just to help you. Most of you probably already know it. But the only thing is, you ain't never heard me teach it. You might get my viewpoint of it. And Matthew 16, verse 15. Matthew 16 and 15. Now Jesus was out and he asked his disciples, he said, who does man say that I am? He says, who does man say that I am? And then he turned around verse 15 and he says, who do you say that I am, Peter? Or he didn't. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. What, upon Peter? No, upon the revelation that Peter had that he was the Son of God. Amen, that he was Christ, the anointed one. Amen, and he was even more than that. He was the Emmanuel. Amen. He says, the Bible says his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So we know that God is manifested in the flesh. And I have, like I say, I come out of the Trinity. Now, if it was anybody in Trinity here, I wouldn't be saying Trinity so much. Because you got to give them a chance to get in. But when I was in the Trinity, I tried to figure out this thing about God being in Jesus Christ. Now, they say the Son of God came and robed himself in flesh and dwelt among us. But you won't find that anywhere. It won't find where it says Jesus, the Son of God, came down and robed himself in flesh. Now, that is man's reasoning. That's what you call philosophy. That's what they come up with. They come up with those things. That Jesus Christ, the Son, has come down and robed himself in flesh. He has not done that. It's not in the Bible, and it's not in anything that you can find, except that you do this, except you put a lot of reason, your own reasoning with it. But the Bible warns against that. And that's how man has gotten so far away from God. They were somewhere on Facebook said, put something about the UPC thinking they got it all. And he said he come out of the UPC, and he said, and they went some other different direction. I said, I don't think that any organization can save you. But I said, I'll tell you what. I said, back in the way back there when Martin Luther come out and protested the Catholic Church, I said, he didn't come out very far either. I said, but they just kept going. They kept coming out, and they kept coming out, and they kept coming out. And amen. And in this last day, God is coming back for a people that has made themselves ready in Christ Jesus. Amen. So they want to say those things, but they can't. If you can't find Bible, if it's not Bible, see, this Bible is his own interpreter. If you can't find anything that can confirm that in the Bible, then you don't need to be trying to your own reasoning, your own philosophy to tell people what it is. Amen. I try, if I don't know what I'm talking about, I'd be better off to just keep quiet. If you don't have anything that can prove it. But every man's work shall be, 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, the day shall declare it because it shall be revealed. Fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. Amen. I know this. There have been times we've been accused of claiming that our works is our salvation. But we all know, amen, our works is where the Bible goes from the Gospels all the way to Revelation. That's the thing that we try to do, and we try diligently, amen, to do the task set before us. Amen. And while the criticizers stay outside that task and criticize what you're doing. Things they like to, and I'm not speaking on preaching on tongues today, but they like to mess with the tongues because to the world that's foolishness. And if you let yourself get a little bit in your flesh, you'll even start thinking it's foolishness. That's right. You'll even start thinking it's foolishness. But the Bible says, try the spirits to see if they be of God. Now, which is better to do? Try the spirits to see if they be of God, like it says, or just say it's not for us and say we don't have to do that. That's not anything that we need to worry ourselves with. Because, you know, from the first part, they began to think they didn't have to worry themselves about the Godhead either. And when they didn't have to worry about that, then they think they didn't have to worry about Jesus' name baptism either. See, you start getting away from God, you just keep pulling and pulling and pulling until pretty soon you don't have any identification of God about yourself. Amen. There's a lot of things about IDs today and are on the end time things that we have there that man's wanting to identify every man. They want you to be identified with them. They're going to start bringing their way in, and then how you're going to be identified with them is when you take the mark, you're identified with them. But we need to be identified with Christ Jesus. And the only way you're going to be identified with Christ Jesus, amen, to come by the word of God. They said, standing on his promises, the only promises that we have today is the word of God. And the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. Anyway, those three. But those three are one. It doesn't matter which way they go. They all three are one. But man, through his traditions, when it came down from all the way from Martin Luther right down, people made their traditions. You got the Lutherans made theirs. You got the others. They made theirs. They made theirs. They made theirs. They made theirs. And try to get people out of their traditions. Especially when they told all their lives it doesn't matter. But you take the Presbyterian, one that come after Luther, well, it mattered to them or they wouldn't come out of Luther. And those come on, it mattered to them, they wouldn't come out that much. Amen, but when the thing that, it wasn't good that I wasn't raised up in church, but one thing about it, I didn't have all those traditions to weight me down. When I come into church, I didn't know any more about the Trinity than I did about the apostolic. I just knew that the Bible said I needed to repent of my sins. That's all I knew. Amen. But the Bible says, amen, leaving the foundation of repentance and going on into perfection. You don't stay at the foot of the cross. Some don't want to leave the cross. They don't want to go into the work. Amen. I used to pick cotton. If you stayed at the trailer, you never would get nothing done. You had to do the work. Amen. And we do the work, but that's not my salvation. I'm building on the foundation. I'm building on my salvation. Amen. I have worse because I have salvation. I have something in me now different than what I had before. Amen. And that teaches me, amen, to come up a little higher. That teaches me to go on into perfection. That means maturity. That don't mean you'll ever be perfect. If it does, I'm going to have to hurry you. Because I ain't got there yet, and my hair is gray. But these traditions, even Jesus spoke of them. By the time he came around, man was so wrapped up in their tradition that they was hardly, the church or the temple was hardly recognized in them. The law was hardly recognized in them. That's the reason Jesus talked so much against the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees, it wasn't anything wrong that they wanted to work for God. But because they believed that their works now that was going to save them. It was all on them. There wouldn't be no need for Jesus to come if that was the case. Amen. But he came and he was so hard against the Pharisees. And now today they take a few little scriptures like that and call people that wants to do a work, do anything God, they want to call them Pharisees. And that would be right if we said we were saying our works is what made us saved. If our works was our salvation, they'd be right. They'd have every right to say whatever they say. But that's not it. Amen. I didn't know anything about works when I came to Christ. I didn't bring nothing with me. And Christ wasn't going to take it off of his shoulder and put it back on mine once I got in church. No, he was going to bring me into newness of life. Amen. He's going to make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's what I am. But in Matthew 15:3, Jesus, he warns about traditions. And Jesus says, why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions? For the sake of their tradition, they made the word of commandments of God void. And then Jesus warns again about some things that I'm talking about today in Mark 7:13. Thus making void the word of God by your traditions that ye have handed down. And many such things ye do. And that's what they do. It's happened today, and we're right at the bottom of this. Now, when you're fighting to try to get people to believe in the things of God, you're fighting their tradition. And their tradition has made what you're trying to tell them void. So you can hardly, they hardly pay any attention to what you're saying because their mind's already filled with everything else and they're just not listening. Or if they do listen, then they may go to their priest or their pastor and then he's going to straighten them out on it with his philosophy. But 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, you can't write a three-page thing in words explaining why it's all right if you believe the truth, if you're putting some things to back up, but private interpretation, that ain't yours. That's not you. You can't have that. You got to go through the Word of God, see if what you're talking about lines up with the rest of it. Amen. If you went by the just by what you read, Jesus would be a door. Amen. But you can't. You got to find out what it's saying. I know that's a simple example, but that's what you got to do. You got to find out what that's saying. And in every scripture, you got to do that. And then when teaching the New Testament, we must do so with light already revealed in the Old Testament. Amen. Because if you read the Old Testament, you'll find out as soon as it gets to the New Testament, you can take what's in the New Testament and say, yeah, that's what it was talking about. Because the Bible talks about mystery. Things about when it talks about the Old Testament, when it's saying things in the New, it said, but now these things have been revealed. Amen. The Trinity still wants to say that the Godhead is a mystery. But this Bible says these things have been revealed. Amen. They've been revealed to us. It says, behold, in Matthew 1 and 23. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which be interpreted God with us. Isaiah 9 and 6. Amen. Isaiah, so you want to bring everything. You want to take this word, go back to this word, come back to this one. Some used to say rightly dividing, or Brother Peterman used to say dovetailing. He says it's got a dovetail. It's all got to go together. Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, listen to this, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Amen. The Everlasting Father. When has there ever been such a man? 2,000 years ago there was such a man, but not up until that time. There was never such a man. There was never such a man that could say he was God. It was God. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. Because that was the only way we could see the Father, through Jesus Christ. He was manifested. Manifested means he was made so we could see him. We could look at it. That was a manifestation of God, the only manifestation of God. Except the Old Testament, he did some things. He was in a burning bush and different things like that. But this is the first time that he ever came in his son, his only begotten son. He had no other son. There was no other son worthy to be the sacrificial lamb because they wasn't perfect. Jesus Christ was a perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice. He was without spot or wrinkle. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have jived with this book back here. So it all has to be the same. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's all that. Amen. When I come up to you today, I had the Word, but it wasn't going to do anything until I gave it to you. But I'm still the same person. Amen. His Word. He came with His Word in the beginning. It wasn't in His beginning. He had none. It was in the beginning when He started to deal with man. Amen. In the beginning. He brought everything necessary, amen, for creation. He brought everything necessary to go to the cross. He brought everything necessary on the other side of the cross because he was all of it. And then he embodied himself in Christ. And then Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Amen. He did it all. You know, some people, they got called something concrete thinking. You know, when you see something, that's all you see. You just see what you see. You look at a Statue of Liberty, all you see is a statue. But you have this other abstract thinking. They see a symbol. And then they see liberty. They see freedom. But it's not three statues there. It's still just one. And that's what we got to look at when we see God. All these things. Everything is in God. Everything he needed. Romans 8 and 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned the sin in flesh. Well, who was this Son? It was Jesus Christ manifested, God manifested in Jesus Christ. That's who the Son was. That's who his Son was from from his beginnings, when he was begotten of the Father. Amen. Now his soul sits on the right hand of God, amen, as our mediator between Christ and man. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You know, I think God knew what he was doing when he kept, at the end of these things, these three are one. He kept trying to say, don't go into that. I'm still one. Amen. He said, go ye in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But these three are one. Amen. I look and I see, why don't you baptize in Jesus' name? Some will go, they'll get so far out in their sayings, and they'll say, well, you know, when that was just because some people were beginning to get out and baptize in the name of their idols and all that kind of stuff. So they were just trying to bring them back so they would think about Jesus and get baptized that way. Never saying to go down and, you know, but it's philosophy. When it gets that bad, that's when I just stop reading. I said, I'll go somewhere else and try to find my information. Most places, if I can get it from the, especially with the computers today and things, you can just go right into the oneness doctrine. But I like to go play around in theirs too. But I wouldn't say do that unless you're pretty firm in what you believe. But I don't think you have to be too firm. Most people, I think when I think I have something here that I can read. This. When they decide to go a different direction, and this, and you could probably identify with it, and I believe everybody that's ever went a different direction can. Many of those in Christendom today do not take the time to ferret out truth, but blindly accept the beliefs of a denomination, the religion of their parents, their tradition, or false glitter of a social attractive and acceptable congregation. Now, this is pretty much just why everybody goes to a different... They want a little bit easier on the flesh. But you know, we get into it a lot today. We always talk about the healings, all these things that God does for our flesh and does for our flesh. You read the Bible, though, it says he'll not put more on you than he can bear. Sometimes, if you're a real Christian, that's real Christians go through more than those that are not so up in God. Now, this is, you say, well, I don't believe it. That's okay. It's my time. But I understand that. But you know, sometimes Christians, he'll bring, you see it all through the Old Testament. God strengthened Israel's enemies. Amen. You start getting out of the way, and he can start pushing you back in line. And usually, you won't go back in line by something small. Amen. Sometimes it has to take something great, a great force to push you back in. But so, the Bible says, thinking not strange. Amen. When these things come upon you. Amen. Don't think it's strange. Count yourself, count a joy that God has counted you worthy. Amen. So when we serve God, don't come in thinking that, and again, we have to feed the babes in Christ. And I've never seen a time harder for pastors than I see today. But they have to do it. They have to use a lot of wisdom in everything. But long as I look at it like this, I know what to do. And that's what I'm going to do. Amen. And we can be a light to all those that come in. I like the way Brother Davis said it before. He said, you don't get God to get good, you get them right. You don't get good to get God, you get God to get good. See, I said that was his saying, not mine. Amen. Isaiah 53 and 5. Bring something else to you, too, before I get to that scripture. And Genesis 3 and 15. That was the first scripture that prophesied about there was going to be an incarnation. Amen. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent the heel of the woman's seed. Now, bruise the head of the serpent, that's a fatal blow. But he would bruise the heel of the woman, that's not a fatal blow. Amen. But there was a way out already for man. There was already a little light at the end of the tunnel that God had made for us. And then the Bible talks about bruising the head. It said it bruised the head of the Matthew 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. See, you got to go look for these things. And most, just about everybody does, but since most of you are pretty mature Christians, I'll tell you what the Catholics said about it. They said that's what it meant, that that's where a man would kill the snake when he goes to kill him. He would crush his head. And then he said you wouldn't hit the snake in the tail. Whatever. But then you find in the Word of God, you find what the Word of God has to say about it. Amen. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now, I know we use that scripture a lot of times, for his stripes we are healed. But I can't help but believe that's talking about our spiritual situation. By his stripes are we healed. Amen. He took it all upon himself. And there's a lot of scriptures for healing where you, well, I guess you can use it if you want to. But I think that is talking, we've got to keep it in the scripture where it belongs. And I believe that's what it's talking about. It's believing by his stripes are we healed. I'm a cursed. I'm a cursed man, and there's no man can help me. There's no doctor that can heal me. There's no words that can be said over me, amen, to heal that except Jesus Christ. That's the only place I'm going to get any healing. There's just so much going on. Let's read verse 53 and 10. It's another one. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Amen. He keeps using that same word. If it was to kill, he said, bruise him. And he has put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You know, I don't know how some miss it, but, you know, sometimes God blinds people for a purpose. Look what he did with Pharaoh. Amen. He kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. I felt sorry for him. But God was trying to show him something. And it says in there, he was showing Pharaoh who he was. So he was not only having something for Israel there, he was showing Pharaoh who he was too. See, he wants Pharaoh to come around too. He wants the Egyptians to come around. He wants us all to come around. And you can find all of these things, Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. Sometimes to get into the truth of God, you've got to seek for it. You've got to search for it. Yes, Simon Peter said, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Upon this fact of Emmanuel, God in us, Christ the anointed one. Amen. All of these things. But we find that upon this rock, what rock is that? Rock is Christ Jesus. Amen. You can find out. Well, just go find out other scriptures. There's tons of them. But if you want to take your philosophy and try to say something about it, you might, oh, yeah, well, he said Peter, didn't he? He said upon this rock. He's talking about Peter. Well, see if the Word will back that up. That's what you got to do. You got to try. Now they want to believe there's a suffering Messiah and there's a reigning one, and there is. They got it right, but they better get the first one right. Amen. He's the first. They leave the truth. And they find whatever they want to be finding there. My time's almost up here, so I think there may be one thing I wanted to bring out here. It won't take but a minute. Now, there was a centurion. And Matthew 8:8-10, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them, that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel." What was he looking at? His word was enough. By the word was everything created. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. We don't need anything else. The word of God standing on the promises of Christ our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Standing on his promises. All the promises are in his word. Amen. Thank God. All right. I guess we're all going to find a place to pray now. And I guess Brother Wells, he wants to say something.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
Standing on the promises of God.
Yes, I'm
standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing.
I'm
standing on the promises of God.
Standing
on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing,
I'm
standing on the promises of God.
Just a few moments, our classes are going to be returning. Thank you, Brother Kellum. I grew up sixth generation apostolic Pentecostal. Grew up hearing oneness doctrine. There came a point in time in my life where I had to not just base what I believed upon what my parents had taught me or upon what the teaching and tutelage that I had sat under for years. There came a point in time in my life where I had to study it for myself. Realized as a young man aspiring into ministry, while I felt pretty confident that I was oneness, sometimes when I would look into the Word of God, I would find myself questioning. Understand, that's not a bad thing. If the motive for the question is to find out, it is revelation. We can teach it. We can give you all kinds of literature. And we can reference all types of scripture, but it comes by revelation. You have to take the time. You have to study. You have to put your nose in the book. You have to find it for yourself. What I've come to realize in years of ministry, there are a lot of people who consider themselves oneness who have difficulty explaining oneness doctrine. And there are a lot of people who consider themselves of another faith that have much difficulty explaining that faith.
Right.
So what are you saying, Pastor? Simply this. There is one and only one authority. It is the Word of God. I am not the authority. You are not the authority. It doesn't matter how many degrees they have attached to their name. It doesn't matter what councils came together. It doesn't matter what the church, I say that in quotations, has ascribed to as a doxology or a teaching. What matters is what thus saith the Word of God. And so what you and I must do is we must find for ourselves the revelation and the understanding of the mighty God in Christ. It's there. The scripture is replete with the revelation concerning who Jesus is. And I'm so thankful that I know Jesus is the Father. I know Jesus is the Son. I know Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. I'm thankful. I don't have to worry about what I'm praying to or who I'm praying to. I can pray to the Lord Jesus Christ and know that I am praying. For these three are one. I'm thankful for that revelation. I'm thankful for the understanding that when I bow my knee in prayer, I don't have to worry about who's attentive to my prayer. There's one. There's one. I'm so very thankful. For the next few moments as they sing and play, and as the class has returned, can you find a place to pray? Can you thank God? You thank God for bringing you into this great revelation of truth. How wonderful it is. Can I say this? How much more meaningful the Christmas story truly is when you understand He's Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
It's dead.